I know we have some family. I know there's a great grandmother, a great grandfather, and then grandparents as well. Can we get all the family to stand? Family members here. All right. Just recognize you. Brother Phil's back on the door. And thank you very much. This is a very special time, and again, we appreciate the love for the Lord that this couple has and their desire to raise their children in a way that would bring honor and glory to the Lord. Where are you, Abby? Uh-oh, almost unhappy. Almost. So we're going to have a word of prayer and dedicate this little one to the Lord. If Kirk, you and Denise would join hands and we'll call on the Lord here together, okay? Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for the privilege that we have to enter into Your presence again this morning. Lord, what a joy it is to be able to bow our heads on this earth and know that our voices are heard in heaven. Father, we thank You today for this little one that You've brought to the home of Kirk and Denise Hubick. We thank You for little Abigail, truly a gift from God, Lord. As we think about the Scriptures, the Lord Jesus, when He was on this earth, would take those little ones, would take them up in His arms, and He'd bless them. Lord, we thank You that that teaches us today that these little ones matter to You. Lord, they're important to You. And Father, we pray for this little one and we put her in Your hands this morning and we ask, O God, that You would keep her and that You would do a work in her heart and in her life. And Father, I pray that when she comes to that place that she's accountable before You. I pray the dear Holy Spirit would rend the heavens in great conviction on her. Lord, save her and transform her. Use her, Lord, as a vessel for glory and honor to Your good name. Father, I pray that all the days of her life might be lived for You. I pray that You would help our brother and his dear wife to raise her fear and admonition of the Lord. God, I pray You'd give them strength to be the parents that, Lord, You'd have them to be. We thank You, O Lord, for their love for You. And Lord, we just trust You'll keep them and, Lord, You'll grant them strength to again, lead and guide their family. Father, we thank You for the privilege to pray and to call upon You, and we trust that as we open Your Word this morning that You'll challenge our hearts from it. And may the dear Spirit of God do His work in us and speak to us today. And we'll thank You for all that You do. Lord, we love You. We can only say that this morning because You loved us first. And gave Yourself for us. And Lord, we thank You for that great gift. And Lord, we praise You this morning in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter number 22. Proverbs chapter number 22, and I want to read one verse, verse number 6. Proverbs 22 and verse number 6. When you found your place, I'll invite you to stand as we honor God's Word. Proverbs 22 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I trust God will take His Word and speak to our hearts this morning. Thank You for honoring the Word. You can be seated. Just a few things that I'd like to call to your attention this morning. And likely this is the shortest message you're ever going to hear me preach. So I told Brother Kirk, he's here to witness it. But nevertheless, it's just a few things I want to point out from this proverb. A real important thing here is we bring a challenge to the parents, not just to our brother and his wife, but to every parent here this morning. I want to challenge you from the Word of God, because the greatest responsibility that could be entrusted to any human being has been entrusted to you, and that is to raise a child. To, as the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When I look at this proverb, I find, first of all, something that we need to understand, that it's a proverb and not a promise. I don't know how many people that have been discouraged and disappointed and defeated because they've taken this verse and they've made it a promise and forgotten that it's a proverb. They've said, well, you know, if I train my child to do right, then they automatically have to do right. Not so. They say, well, if I train my child in the way they should go, doesn't it promise when he is old, he will not depart from it? Remember, it's a proverb and not a promise. Dr. John Phillips said that a proverb enshrines a principle. It is not a blanket guarantee. The book of Proverbs sets before us guidelines and general rules rather than unconditional promises. You see, the problem with this is that every child is born with the same thing you've got. And that's twofold. Number one, that's a sin nature. And number two, that's a free will. And those two things have to be dealt with. And those two things have to be brought into consideration when we talk about raising our children. But I would say this, my friend, don't let that discourage you. Because it's far better for a child to know the way and to be able to choose than to not know the way and to not have a choice in the matter. The Bible says if we'll train them up, a child in the way they should go when he's old, he will not depart from it. Ultimately, each one of our children must come to a place in their life where they make up their own mind, where they make the decision for themselves. Number one, to trust Christ and to repent of their sin and be born again. Number two, to serve Him. They must come to that place. And you know, I'm glad that our Lord is pictured in the Bible as a heavenly Father. A heavenly Father who's not out here producing mindless robots, but who's giving you and me an opportunity out of love to serve Him and to live for Him. And that's what He gives you an opportunity. And He gives our children that opportunity as well. So remember that this is a proverb. It's not a promise. The second thing I see in this proverb is that persistent parenting is required. It's two little words that suggest hard work. And those two words are train up. Train up. Now, truth of the matter is, kids can't raise themselves, can they? That's why God gave them a mother and gave them a dad. And we've been entrusted with the responsibility to mold these little ones. And boy, what a job it is. The Bible says to train them up. It's a military term. It talks about instilling discipline. It suggests working with and molding and shaping and putting forth some effort and really investing some hard work into those little ones. We need to understand that our children often catch more than we teach them. Somebody said more's caught than taught with our children, and that's true. They catch how we live. They watch what we do. They get the burden or the passion for the things they see mom and dad having a burden and a passion for. As the old saying is, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and it's true. Because the children are affected by the parent, and so there's persistence. There's persistence in training up our children. I read the story of a man who had given his life to drink, and he started one winter's night to a tavern down the road, and some snow had freshly fallen, and as he made his way to the tavern, as walking along, he left, of course, prints in the snow, and he heard a noise behind him. He'd gotten just a little ways from the house. And as he turned around to see what was behind him, he noticed his little boy jumping from footstep to footstep. He stopped in the snow there and he began to think where he was going. Began to think what he was going to do. Began to think about the example that he was setting for that little one. Boy, right then and there, he turned around and grabbed his little boy up in his arms and headed back home. It broke him and it convicted him that he was leading his son down the wrong path. Moms and dads, let me urge you this morning that yes, it's important what we teach our children. Yes, it's important the truth that we expose them to and the things that we say to them. But all far more important than that is the example that we live in front of them day after day, week after week, and year after year. Because, again, more is caught by our children than we teach them. Daniel Webster said, if you work on marble, it will perish. If we work on brass, time will erode it. If we rear temples, they will crumble to dust. But if we work on immortal minds, if we fill them with high principles, with the just fear of God, and a love for their fellow man, we engrave on those tablets something time cannot erode, which will brighten and brighten to all eternity. It's true, my friend, that the impact, mothers and dads, you make on your children is something that will last a lifetime and affect their eternity. I'm thinking of my own parents, my own father, and you know, there's a lot of things that I see in my life now that I know where they come from. Looking back, you know, growing up, you young fella, a teenager especially, you want to be everything but like your dad. Everything but like your, you know, there's something in you that wants you to go the other way. And then you find out that time has a way of working on you, and before you know it, you're becoming more like that one you didn't want to be like. You didn't think you wanted to be like. And so, parents, what an impact. What an impact. And if I could say anything about this verse, this matter of training, again, the emphasis, I believe, here is in the lifestyle in which we lead before our little children. Because, again, they're watching. They're watching. Well, I find another thing in this proverb. I not only find that it is a proverb and not a promise. We need to remember that. And I realize that there's a persistent parenting that is required. But I also want you to see that there's a path that's prescribed here in God's Word. Notice what it says. In the way he should go. In the way he should go. You know, the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man. But what does it end up? In destruction. There's a way that seems right. There's a way that looks right, but it's the end that matters. And I want you to consider that this morning. There may be a way in your mind that looks right. There's a way that looks like that should be the way. But where's it going to end, friend? See, where's that end? Where's the end of that journey going to take you? The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. Well, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:4, that we're to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How do we do that? Well, if you look back in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 6, you'll find how to do that. The Bible said, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You see, the way that our children need to be taught is God's way. It's God's way. What's God's way? God's way is His Word. And you know what I find about the Word beginning in Genesis and going straight through? That God's Word always takes us to Jesus Christ. God's Word. In the beginning, Genesis 3, we have the promise of a coming Savior. And moms and dads, the greatest thing you can do is to show your children the way, and that way that leads to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said of Himself in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Of all the things that you can show your children, sure, it's important to teach them to work hard. Sure, it's important to teach them to be honest and to instill in them a good set of morals and values. But my friend, the greatest gift you can give to your children is to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Consider the end. My friend, life without Christ is an endless death and a night of horror. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And we understand that the Word of God speaks here and tells us of those two destinies. There's two destinations in death. One is in heaven and the other in hell. And all friend, Jesus Christ is the path to heaven. He's the door to heaven. And as we instill in our children, as we tell our children about a path, we need to point them to the person of Jesus Christ. Because consider the end. Consider the end. And then fourthly, I want you to notice this about the proverb. I want you to see the power of God's Word. Notice it says, "When he is old, he will not depart from it." Now what is this? This is not a guarantee that if you raise your child in the way they should be, that they'll turn out, live for God. I think of the story the Bible tells us in Luke 16 of a prodigal son. And no doubt he was raised in the right way, but he broke his father's heart because he was in rebellion and wanted to go his own way. Consider the end. His own way landed him in the hog pen. And there he fed with the hogs and lived with the hogs. Thank God it was there with the hogs he came to himself and realized that the father would receive him back home. And as I think of that, I say, what is this saying? Is when he's old, he will not depart from it. Listen, that just tells me the power of God's truth. No matter what choices your children make, moms and dads, you train your child up in the way they should go. You teach them the Word of God. You show them the right way. You expose them to the truth of God's Word. No matter what choices they make or where the consequences of those choices might take them or the kind of person they become, the truth of God's Word planted in their hearts will affect them till the very last day on this earth. Because listen, God's Word's powerful. The Bible says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." No matter what you do with the truth, friend, whether you reject it, receive it, ignore it, or disbelieve it, it will do something. It will leave you, my friend, different than the way it found you. If nothing else, the truth will make you accountable before God. If nothing else, if you don't believe it and you reject it and you refuse it And yet you continue your path. When you face God in heaven, you're accountable for it. You're accountable for it. That's the power of truth. And truth, my friend, never leaves you in a neutral state. You say, well, preacher, this path you're talking about to heaven, the Lord, I don't know so much about that, you know. I think I'm just going to remain neutral. Well, my friend, there's no neutral gear in this matter. It's either receive Him or, in essence, to reject Him. Because to remain in indecision is to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see here again, moms and dads, the power of God's Word. Of all the things that you and I might regret our children learning from us, I promise you we'll never regret our children learning God's Word. We'll never be sorry that we instilled in them the truth of the Word of God, that we taught them, that we helped them memorize the Scripture. Because I'll tell you, no matter what they do or where they go, the power of God's Word will still be at work in their life. And I'll tell you, I know from firsthand experience, you can run from the Lord. You can run from your parents. You can run from your local church. You can run from everything that you've ever been taught. But I'll tell you, there's one thing I couldn't get away from. When I'd close my eyes at night, there were still things about God's Word that were still working in my heart. And God could use His Word, even in my state of rebellion, to break my heart and bring me back to Himself. Oh, I'm glad somebody had the foresight enough to teach me God's Word when I was a little fella so that I would have an anchor. An anchor that would hold. I tried to clip the cable and run, but I found that the cable was unclippable, that you couldn't get away from it. Thank God for the power of truth. Oh, listen, we'll never be sorry, moms and dads, teaching our little children. There's a few things, and I'm sure all of us will say, there's a few things we're sad or sorry that our children learn from us. Right? You better believe it. I've shared this with a church family. I was working on a vehicle in my garage there, and I had a hammer out using it, which I found is always a nice tool to use when you're working on something. And the thing that I intended to hit, I missed. Well, you know what I hit? I hit my hand. Boys, it hurt. I mean, it hurt real bad. And before I knew it, I give that hammer a fling, and it went and... just, I don't know how it did it, but somehow or another went straight through the wall of my garage, right out in my neighbor's yard. Landed out in the yard. Now, boy, you talk about having a hard time explaining to my neighbor why I was in his yard picking up my hammer and how it come through. Well, I had, Josiah was there playing, and he wanted to learn how to drive nails, so I gave him a little old 2x4 and a little hammer about his size and taught him how to drive a nail. And he was there driving his nails, standing right in front of my big window at the back of my garage. And he was driving along, and whack, he hit his thumb. And I heard that distinct noise, you know, when you hit yourself. He kind of groaned, and I heard the hammer hit the bench. And then just as I turned around, the thought come to my mind, I hope he don't do what Daddy just did. And just as I turned, I seen him with that hammer. And he was aiming for my window. And I thankfully grabbed his arm and I stopped him in time. I said, son, don't do that. I said, it'd be hard to replace that window. I said, please, don't pitch this thing through the window. He looked at me with a look of innocence. He said, Dad, I was just doing what you did. Whew. You talk about a preacher under conviction. Moms and dads, turn around and look. Your children, a lot of times, are going to do just what you're doing. What you and I do and what you and I teach them is going to affect them. It's going to impact them. It's going to mold and shape them. My friend, we never go wrong taking this blessed old book. and letting it mold and shape their lives. And God's given a promise to this book that it'll not return void. It'll do the job. It'll do the job God's ordained for it to do. Well, parents, let me encourage you to give yourself afresh this morning to the task that God's entrusted you with, to train up your child in the way they should go. And no matter where they go or what they do or what they choose to be, I'm glad they cannot get away from what you've planted in their heart, if you've planted this old book in their little minds, in their little hearts. Be encouraged. Moms, you know, I've often said I wish children came with an instruction manual. And they do. You've got it in your lap, I hope. They do. You've got the Bible as your guide. You have the Heavenly Father as your wisdom. We have the Spirit of God to give strength and encouragement. My friend, I'm grateful we have the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And you know, we have the promise that this book will not return void. What more could we ask for? What more could we ask for? We do have all that we need to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's pray together. Father, I do appreciate the opportunity you've given us here this morning to gather in your house.